Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
This is Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about dude love. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Razor Babes Frisbee.
Ooh, use my new nickname.
Newest, hottest nickname for you.
That was given to me by the Badland girls.
You're the Razor Babes.
I like that. Well, they would call me Frisbabe, and I appreciate that. Because I've never, out of all the nicknames I've gotten with my last name, it's always been like Frigis Frisbee, Frizz, J Frizz, J Frizzle, Frizzle Dizzle, whatever. I've never had anyone with the insight to say Frisbabe, and I'm so grateful. I was telling them I wish I knew them in high school just so I could have, in part, I mean, not only would have been awesome to know these girls in high school, if you ever listen to their show at badlandgirls.com, also on iTunes, you'll know that they're the kind of people that you want to know. So, it would have been awesome to know them in high school for that and just have that nickname much sooner in life because no one ever thought of it. Sorry, everybody else I've ever known. Never came to attention. But then, yeah, you added on to that by using the Razor Blades nickname that you're so fond of and that I'm very fond of, too, and called it Razor Babes.
Yeah, you're...
It's very cute. I like that.
You're now Babeson Razor Babes Frizz Babe.
I can live with that. I'm going to get my license changed tomorrow.
So this is the Pool Party Show. You can go download all our episodes at poolpartyradio.com or find us on iTunes and leave us like all these nice reviews and comments because that helps us tremendously and so on and so forth. But how are you, Mr. Frisbee? You had an exciting week last week doing the show all by your lonesome with only John Holmes to help you. Which I guess.
Exactly.
That's not too lonesome, I guess.
It's never very lonesome when John Holmes is around. He made his triumphant return, and I was so happy to have him back on the show, not only because he helped me out with the show, but it's just because we haven't had him on the show for a while. So it was very exciting. And tonight, as we record, he's going to be at Go Bananas for his second round of Funniest Man in Cincinnati, even though he is the funniest man in our hearts. So. I was trying to think of the wussiest thing to say in lieu of him being this neat competition, and that's what came to mind. So hopefully he hears this at some point.
He won't.
He won't. He obviously doesn't listen to the show. That was very apparent with my stinger.
Yeah, I laughed at that mightily. He had no idea what Fuck You Chelios was about, despite the fact that we've been signing off the show with it since like episode 6.
Yeah. He's been on episodes where we've signed off with that. And he's like, so is that a thing now? I'm like, yeah, it's been a thing ever since we've been doing this show. Thanks you so much for listening, John.
You piece of shit.
He's banned again, I think. Just because of that. But yeah, it was great having him on during his post and pre-banning. Yeah, we just basically talked about the Daniel Tosh fiasco and the trouble with the economy, and that was about it.
Yeah, those Daniel Toshes. Everybody's upset.
Everybody was upset. Now no one is.
Yeah.
I've been watching Tosh.0, kind of pleasantly pleased at the fact that his jokes are already out of date about how no one likes him.
Yeah, nobody cares anymore. You know what I found to be very interesting, though? I was going to tweet about this, but then I didn't. I got real lazy because it would have involved screenshotting it and everything. But while I was out of town, I was reading Joss Whedon's run of the Astonishing X-Men, rather. And in it, I found a joke about gang rape. So nobody's mad at Joss Whedon. He's a media darling. But people get mad at Daniel Tosh. I found that funny.
I think everybody else pretty much gave up on it when realizing that there's a lot more important stuff to be worried about, especially with this past week when somebody shot up a theater. It's like, oh, yeah. Jokes aren't the problem. It's actual psychopaths who are kind of the problem.
Yeah, jokes aren't the problem. Jokers are the problem.
Waka waka.
Yeah, but how was Las Vegas, man?
Oh, it was dope. Well, we went and, you know, the first day we were there, I, my wife, she was all excited. She really likes the pool. And one of the last times we were in Las Vegas, like, I got acclimated to the pool. Like, I haven't been to a pool up until then since, like, second grade or something. You know, I just grew out of it and grew into video games and comic books and being fat. And so we went to the pool last time, or two times ago when we went, and I thought it was, like, the best fucking thing to just sit there listening to a podcast, listening to, Adam Carolla yell at me, or Robert Kelly, or whoever it is, one of these nice ones. And, you know, just enjoy the sun and enjoy mountains and cool water and things like this, and just hanging out. So we were going to do that again this time. Like, we spent, like, 3 days at the pool, like, last time, and we were going to do it again this time. But the first day we went out there, the water was, like, so devilishly cold because I guess it rained for a couple of days before we got there, and it was, like, 70 degrees or something. So the water was, like, freezing cold, and I didn't go in because it hurt to touch. And spent all my time in the sun. And I also felt like I was, like, a real tough guy because last time we went, I didn't put on any sunscreen because I'm, like, a real tough guy and I don't fear cancer. And I thought that I could do the same thing this time. Like, I felt that there was just something in my skin that made me immune to sunburns because I didn't get one last time.
Like your regular Wolverines.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I thought so. And I was reading X-Men comics at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out I was wrong as hell because after we left the pool, after being out there for like 4 hours or something, we took a nap. And when we woke up, I could barely move. And I had the worst sunburn I think I've had since the time I went to Kentucky in like second grade and watched Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things in the sun, I guess, because I got a sunburn from that.
Were you like cherry red or were you just slightly pink?
Oh, no, I was the reddest red you can imagine.
That's awesome. Are you still red?
Oh, I'm still I'm in the peeling phase now, which is really fun. And I've been thinking about like I've been peeling and stuff, which is fun. And I've been thinking about trying to like feed some of my peels to my dog to see if he'll eat it and get a taste for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done it yet.
It's not disgusting at all.
I figure everything going on in the world right now, the last thing we need is teaching dogs to enjoy human flesh. But to get back to the sunburn, I had a joyous time blaming my wife because she convinced me to put on suntan lotion, you know, because she didn't want me to get the cancer because she's like nice. But she did it like kind of half-hat. Well, I mean, maybe it was a little bit my fault since I didn't want it to begin with. But it was a little haphazard because, like, you could tell, like I would have, like, big white handprints on my body from where she, like, just smacked some suntan lotion on and, like, didn't rub it in or anything. So I thought that was pretty funny. Like, there was only parts of me that were hugely sunburned and then big white hand marks in other places.
That would have been awesome if they were just cupped around your man breasts.
It was where
your pectorals, you know, just like those, like, Janet Jackson style hands over the, yeah.
Yeah, it was there, and then it was on my butt cheeks and on my ding-a-ling.
You're ding-a-ling? Sometimes that sunscreen can be really funny if you end up getting a sunburn. My only experience with this is obviously from, like, 80s slapstick comedies in that one episode of Futurama where Bender writes Bender rules on Amy's stomach while she's asleep.
That's a nice practical joke that they do in those movies from the 80s, like Hard Bodies, where they like find like their principal, like sun bathing, you know, and he's like falling asleep. So they take the suntan lotion and they write fag on his chest or something.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So it has its perks, but obviously when it happens to the person who usually laughs that kind of stuff, it's pretty difficult. So that kind of sucks, man. But that wasn't a hindrance on the trip, was it?
Well, not really. Like, it made it harder to walk and, like, wear shirts and stuff. But I forged ahead. And I went to this place that I've always wanted to go to. It's this place called Hot and Juicy, where they serve crawfish that I saw in Man vs. Food.
Yeah.
And that made it all better. Even though that made my, like, eating that, it was, like, this real hot, like, Louisiana, like, gumbo-y, crawfishy, spicy, you know, cayenne peppery stuff. And so I forgot all about the sunburn on account of my lips and tongue were on fire for like the next day or so. So that really worked out.
So Las Vegas is where you go if you want everything to be on fire all the time.
That's true.
I want to be burning inside and out. So this place, Hot and Juicy, like what made it special? Because it sounds like low country food or like Gulf food, but how do they cook it? What'd they do?
Well, they make these crawfish, right? And you can also get shrimp and crabs and other things like that. But I went with the crawfish because they're delicious. And, you know, like I've always wanted to have crawfish. Like I've had crawfish in gumbo and I've had it at like Mongolian places and stuff. But I've never had the crawfish that you break open and you suck on their little faces that were just alive 20 minutes ago. And you get all their flavors. So I've been wanting to do that like my whole life. My dad used to live in Tampa and I would go visit him and stuff. And I always wanted to do it then because like Tampa's on the Gulf and like they got some of that stuff, you know. And anytime I would go visit him, like I'd be like, hey, let's taste some of the local flavor, you know, let's see what's doing here, you know, since I've come so far from Ohio or wherever to be here, let's do some local stuff. And my dad would always be like, no, let's go to Subway or Applebee's and just that's where the good food is.
Because both regional restaurants, very regional food.
Yeah.
I don't really see any Subways anywhere else but Florida. So.
That's where you have to go to get the finest Subway sandwiches. And my dad's always like this. Like, I think I've talked about this before, but that same time I visited him, like, he got a room right on the beach, you know? And he just made me watch, The Dirty Dozen with him. And which is like a fine movie and everything. And he also made me watch this Gina Davis action movie with Samuel L. Jackson. But it's like, motherfucker, we're on the beach. Like, I just was in a plane for 4 hours to come to this fucking beach. And you got me watching Gina Davis movies. But anyway, that's the kind of guy my dad is. But anyway, back to these crawfish. I ate their little faces. And it was delicious. Just eating their little brains and their little tails. Cracking open their little ribs. And, you know, the way they serve it to you is, like, they get all these crawfish and they put them in, like, a plastic bag. And then they put in all these spices into that bag. And then you just eat them out of this plastic bag like a heathen. It's great. It's wonderful. And it's very tasty.
The plebeian special. What'd you end up getting for your spices?
Well, I went with the Louisiana style, which I thought would be the best because it would be, like, the spiciest. And it was probably the spiciest. But my wife went with, like, the house special of the Hot and Juicy, you know, their namesake. And I really regretted not going with that because that was delicious.
So I think you probably went with the right choice with your Louisiana spice.
That's probably.
Even though the Hot and Juicy sounds like it would. I mean, the name alone just sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's true. It sort of sounds like one of those stores in the mall where like teenagers go to shop.
Mm-hmm. Right next to like icing.
Yeah. And then you go to Forever 21. But so that was great. That was like a real highlight of my life to finally be able to suck on those guys' faces.
Did you go anywhere else for food there, or did you stick to a couple of mainstays?
Yeah, well, usually when I go there, I only eat, like, this badass hot dog place. Like, they've got these really good Chicago-style hot dogs that I indulge in. But this time, I only ate there the once. And we went to, the Hot and Juicy place. We ate at the buffet at the Stratosphere once or twice. And, nothing too exciting, I guess. Aside from on our way back, we stopped in Prim, which is a city from Fallout New Vegas, which I'm always very excited about. When I go to Vegas, I get to see all the spots where I killed people in Fallout New Vegas.
Right? Yeah.
And
do you go to the, Brotherhood of Steel?
Yep.
Casino or something?
Yeah. Well, we stay in the Stratosphere, which is a place you get to own in Fallout New Vegas. Spoiler alert.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I really need to play that through. I have never actually played anything other than Fallout 1.
Oh, it's so good. And so we went to this place in Prim, and it was like right after breakfast, but they still had all their like breakfast buffet stuff out. And my wife got to eat an entire plate of bacon, which is what she's been talking about doing. Like that was like her main reason for wanting to go out of town, is to go to some place and have an entire plate of bacon.
It's very funny that your wife wanted to eat a plate of bacon, because my brother and a friend of ours and my brother's wife had this thing about too much bacon. There was this game that we played when we went out to Las Vegas for my brother's wedding. We went to the buffet at the Flamingo. We're like, all right, let's play too much bacon. And the game is, how much bacon is too much bacon? Can you guess how much bacon is too much bacon?
I'm not sure.
There is no answer. It's an indefinite amount. That's what we found each time. Like, there's never too much bacon. Even when you're full and gorged yourself on bacon, you still want more bacon.
That's true.
Like, I totally agree with your wife's predicament about wanting to eat a plate of bacon. You don't want to be judged for it by any means, but you really shouldn't, because let's face it, bacon's delicious.
Yeah.
I've been cooking it weekly now because it's awesome.
It's so good. And I mean, we live in a world where you can just go to the movie theater and get shot in the face. So, I mean, who cares if you're eating bacon and it's bad for you? I mean, come on.
That is true, but I thought you were first going to say, we live in a world where you can go to a movie theater and eat bacon. That's how much I was focused on bacon just then.
Well, maybe.
I think that might have prevented a few things, actually, if we just had bacon more available.
Yeah.
It could satiate a few things.
If Obama gets his second term, we'll all be eating bacon at the movie theater.
I hope so. Damn it.
My words. He's going to change things. He's going to fix it.
Yeah, hopefully I live like near an Alamo theater, like an Alamo draft house, so I can just see if they'll make me some bacon, damn it.
Yeah.
Just to eat during the theater. Put up one of those quiet signs. Kick somebody else out for talking, and then just eat my bacon happily.
And there you can bacon up your beer if you want. Just dip it in.
I've had bacon beer before up in Michigan.
That sounds gross.
It is really gross. Yeah, that's the one. I've had bacon on chocolate cake. That's awesome. I haven't had bacon on ice cream or anything, but I imagine that's also awesome. But bacon and beer, ooh, no thank you. That is probably the worst. We tried to drink like a shot glass full among three of us. Could not do it. There was still plenty left.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm pretty down with bacon, but adding bacon to like drinks and desserts and stuff, like, you've gone too far. You're just a mad scientist at that point.
Yeah. You have good intentions, but you're a fucking creep. Yeah, Las Vegas sounds like it was fun for you.
Yeah, it was super fun, other than my sunburn. But, you know, other than that, it was great. I like Vegas. I like, you know, I just love a town because, you know, I sleep from about 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. or something. And Vegas caters to that. And that's why I love Vegas.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Also, I found the fucking best comic book store in the world there.
What was it called?
Cosmic Comics. And it's really great. They had so many trade paperbacks. I love going into a comic book store and having an extensive trade paperback section, because it seems like all the ones I go to, or at least some of the ones in Dayton and stuff, like, it's just the new issues, and I'm not trying to read you new issues. I want to read the classics. I don't care what's going on now with your stupid reboot of DC Comics and all this. Who cares? Yeah, so speaking of comics, I went to go see Batman on Friday morning, Thursday night.
You were very excited about this film coming out. What'd you think?
I was so excited because I think The Dark Knight is like one of the best movies, you know, there is ever at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And Batman Begins is also very good, and I like Christian Bale a lot, and I thought everything was going to work out. I'm a big fan of Bane, and so I thought this movie was going to be real great. And, you know, it turned out to not be great at all.
So, that sucks, man. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty bummed. But, I mean, The Avengers is still sweet. And
Amazing Spider-Man's not half bad either now, is it?
Amazing Spider-Man's good, too.
All right.
So that's where, you know, much like with the comics, that's where my money is. Those Captain America movies and stuff. But yeah, it seems like everybody loves this new Batman movie, but I find it to be pretty dull and pretty dumb. And it seems like they do a lot of the things that really sucked about the Tim Burton, Joel Schumacher movies and just put it in there, but they kind of made it gritty or whatever. And that's, I don't know. I just don't know these days.
Are there any specific scenes that turned you off? I mean, I understand you're generalizing about the film. I haven't seen it yet, though.
Well, I don't want to give any spoilers away.
Don't worry about it. I actually already read the spoilers for it.
Read all the spoilers.
It was an accident. I was scrolling down this message board and some troll had posted everything that happens in the film.
All right.
And everybody got pissed off at him.
Well, one thing that was very trolly is that, you know, there's a new character in the film. And about 2 years ago when they were doing the casting for the movie, all the like movie news websites and blogs and stuff were like, hey, they've casted, you know, this actress, the broad from Inception, as this character. And it turns out it's revealed that she's that character, like, in the last 10 seconds of the movie, and it's like this crazy twist, you know? But everybody already knew about that. So, I don't know. Like, if I was making a movie, and my entire movie, and, you know, it ties into the other ones, and so if my entire movie and then some of my, you know, some of the other stuff in the trilogy hinges on you knowing this one piece of information at the end and it being like this big twist, but everybody already knows about it, like in the casting stages, wouldn't you fix that? Like, wouldn't you cast somebody else or do some sort of rewrite and not just go ahead anyway?
Yeah, or at least not leak out those rumors. I mean, it's come to a point now where rumor leaking is probably part of the business. I mean, just as an outsider's perspective, but if I'm not even certain what it is you're talking about as far as who was cast. I mean, I know who it would have been from Inception. Mm-hmm. It's most likely Ellen Page, but the rumors I hadn't heard yet. For anybody who's a fan, and I know you're a fan of the Batman series and Dark Knight series, it would have been wise to have kept that a secret. Like, I don't recall hearing a lot about the stinger at the end of Avengers revealing anything about the future of what they're going to do with the Marvel comics. But with Comic-Con, like, they revealed that's going to be, you know, they're taking the cosmic approach for Marvel comics now. So they introduced Thanos at the end of the Avengers. Spoilers. Sorry, it's been out all summer. It's your fault now.
Well, I mean,
to reveal like the cosmic side of Marvel comics that, you know, happened mostly during like 70s era.
Yeah. And yeah, they're going to introduce Rocket Raccoon, by the way, into the Marvel movie universe, which is, I'm sure, is going to go over well. But yeah, I mean, I think that you can make movies where people don't know, you know, your spoilers and stuff. I mean, the last two scenes of Breaking Bad last year were like crazy sort of twists, and it didn't get out as far as I know, as far as I saw, like, you know. And the thing about Thanos and the Avengers, you know, like, that wasn't released before the movie came out. I mean, it seems like it's easy to keep your twists secret.
Right.
But I mean, it seems like Nolan just didn't even give a shit. So I was bummed out about that. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it's just like a bad movie. Like, that wasn't like my main gripe with it. And, I don't know. Spoiler alert here. Spoiler alert. Skip ahead about 20 seconds. But Batman gets his back. Well, I guess this isn't too much of a spoiler because it happened in the comic. But Batman gets his back broken. And
right.
Some guy fixes it with string. That's
the string?
String. They tie him together with a piece of string. And 2 months later, his back is fixed. And that's the most idiotic thing that's ever been in a fucking movie in the history of cinema. I mean, in the comics, and I mean, this is not why I don't like this movie, because I'm not going on a big, oh, in the comics it was different and blah. But in the comics, Batman's back being broken was like this huge thing that happened over years, and it was like very dramatic, and they had to bring in a new Batman, and, you know, Robin had to step up his game and, you know, to, you know, fight crime while Batman's back was broken and blah, blah, blah. And in this, it's just like a 5-minute montage, a 5-minute Rocky montage of Bruce Wayne doing push-ups, and then his back is better and he's ready to fight again. And it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, push-ups are all you need.
Push-up.
Fix your back.
They'll fix you right up. Don't believe all this stuff about medicine. Just, So that movie stinks. But
you mentioned Breaking Bad. How have you been taking in that series?
Man, that show fucking rules.
And now it's time
for the lightning round.
First up in the lightning round is a TMZ story, James Holmes Massacre's first lawsuit. One of the victims in the James Holmes mass murder during the midnight showing of Batman Dark Knight Rises on Friday morning in Aurora, Colorado, has lawyered up and plans to file a lawsuit because he feels the theater dropped the ball in a very fatal way. And this is Mr. Torrance Brown Jr. was in Century 16 Theater when Holmes let loose one of Brown's best friends, A.J. Bulk, was shot in the chest and died. Brown, who is not physically injured, claims to now suffer from extreme trauma.
Yeah, this guy's a fucking villain, I think. Jeremy from Acid Pop Cult posted this story on his Facebook, and that's where I first learned of it. So thanks for contributing to the lightning round, Jeremy. And check out Acid Pop Cult. But yeah, I think this guy, I think Jeremy and I agree about this guy, that he's a villain. Like a lot of people, when tragedies like this shooting happen, you know, people toss around the word evil. And I don't necessarily think that this John Holmes kid was evil. I think he was just, we talked about this sort of a little bit on Junk Food Dinner. I think he's just off. He was made wrong somehow, and he does not connect to reality the way that most people do. But I do think that a person who wants to make money off of such a tragedy is fucking evil. And so if you want to frivolously sue a theater that had no part in this, and a movie theater or a movie company that had no part in this at all, then you're a fucking evil monster, and you're trying to, you're trying to personally gain off of fucking injury and tragedy, and you're evil. You're an evil, greedy monster. What say you, Mr. Frisbee?
I'd say both are pretty malicious. I mean, with James Holmes' character, I know what you're saying by saying he's a little off, but he also booby-trapped his apartment in case anybody was going to come in and, you know, prepared for this mass shooting by buying like 4 guns and rounds of ammo.
Yeah.
Well, and means of protecting himself. Like he's off, but he's got bad intentions all the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he was just building a machine that got out of control in his garage or something. Like he went to a theater to shoot people. Much as this guy is trying to profiteer from the tragedy that happened.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to downplay the evilness of this Holmes kid. I mean, what he did was terrible. He's terrible. But I think that what made him do these terrible things is just that his brain doesn't work right. He doesn't understand that this was a bad thing to do or something. You know, I mean, I'm obviously not a psychiatrist, but something happened in him beyond his control, beyond his morality, that just made him snap or whatever. You know, this kid who's doing the suing, he, unlike Holmes, he's a fully sane, reasonable man in charge of his faculties, and he sees a way that he can get rich, and so he is going to try it. And I think that's just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the options otherwise could just be like doing charity work for the families who suffered. I mean, doing some fundraising for that. Yeah, there's a multitude of ways to be helping out, but
yeah, I mean, his
to help yourself is kind of bizarre.
It's terrible. I mean, he says that his friend that he went to see the movie with died. And so, I mean, this is what you do, and that you don't mourn your friend. You immediately file a lawsuit. You're a fucking creep.
Well, let's do a thought study then. If you and I went to see a movie together and, you know, what would you do in that instance? Would you try to profit off of my dying? Would you be like, I'm so traumatized from Jason dying, I need some money instead?
So I live and you die? That's the scenario here?
We'll do that one first.
Okay.
What would you do?
I would probably, well, all right, I think maybe if this is where kid is going, then I'm all right with it. But I would sue. I would sue everybody. Get as much money as I could. I would become the Batman. And then I would dedicate my life to fighting this Joker-esque Holmes. If that didn't work, if he gets killed in jail before that, like the news is reporting he probably will, then I will use my money to fight John Holmes.
Okay. See, I'm fine with that. That's fine. You can profiteer off my loss and the loss of others if that was the case. And yeah. By John Holmes.
Yeah, I would avenge you. That origin story would almost exactly be Batman's origin story, as his parents died outside of a theater. And you're my parents in this scenario.
That's awesome.
Might as well be. I don't like my parents. You can be my new parents.
I like that. I'll gladly adopt you and call you son.
But what would
so,
we were there, and I died.
If you died at the hands of a lone gunman, I don't know. I would probably think of what to do with your pets, but I'd be thinking, oh no, what am I going to do about Kepi? That would probably be my first response.
Yeah, that's how I would die. I would like be all bloody and coughing up blood, and I would like pull you close and be like, tell Kepi I love him and tell my wife I said hello. But yeah, this kid, he's suing Warner Brothers because he says that the violence, the real life violence that happened in the movie theater mimics the violence in the movie. But I think what he's missing is that the movie, like, you were at the fucking premiere of the movie.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That's a very, very perceptive psychotic to be like, well, here's what I anticipate the movie to be like. I better download a bootleg so I can mimic it.
Yeah, unless, you know, this Holmes fellow came from the future and he had seen Dark Knight Rises about 30 times, then that is not a very good argument.
Oh, man, that'd be terrible. If, like, everybody in the future, or at least most people who have access to time travel, are just psychotic. Oh, that's an awful, awful future.
That's true.
Like, we need more Marty McFlys, less James Holmes.
Yeah, and, yeah, I don't know. This guy's evil. Also, he's got, like, a stupid bow tie. I don't care for that. What? Actually, now that I think about it, he's wearing a bow tie in this picture. Maybe he is the Riddler.
Maybe he's the Penguin. Penguin is more of a profiteer than anyone in that series.
That's true. He's hanging
out.
He's hanging out with a rod that kind of looks like the Penguin.
Yeah. Jeez. Maybe. I bet he has a very devious laugh too. He is probably has a very snarky laugh and tone.
Yeah.
And trick umbrellas.
Probably with that outfit. He kind of looks like one guy who used to hang out with Puff Daddy who had all those who would, like, carry umbrellas around and, like, shield Puff Daddy from the rain all the time.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name is, but I just remember him from the I Like the Way You Move video with Big Boy.
Yeah.
And he comes floating down off the umbrella.
Wadsworth or something. Like, something
it's something neat last name like that. Maybe this is the same guy, because that Wadsworth dude also wore a bow tie.
Yeah.
All right, well, next up in the lightning round, Muppets pulls toys from fast food chain over anti-gay marriage stance. The Jim Henson Company says it will pull its Muppets toys from Chick-fil-A restaurants after the popular food chain CEO admitted the company is against same-sex marriage.
Yeah, when I was first following this story about Chick-fil-A, I thought to myself, you know whose opinion I care about least in the world about gay marriage is? A chicken restaurant. That's who I care least. When I'm going around asking people how they feel about gay marriage, a chicken restaurant is going to be last on my list because I do not care what they think. And then this story proved me wrong because the person or people I care even less about their opinion when it comes to gay marriage is inanimate fucking puppets. And so I don't understand how this is a country where puppets and chicken restaurants are leading the debate on gay marriage.
Yeah, it's breaded chicken versus the Muppet. It's not quite a mammal, it's not quite a puppet, but man, oh man, when they come together, hoo dog. Yeah, the fact that there was even like some sort of deal between Jim Henson and Chick-fil-A is beyond me. Like, I think Muppets is kind of, pardon the pun, hanging on by a thread.
Oh!
Because they had the Muppets movie, and that's been about it. Like, there's no Muppets show. Sesame Street's still on the air. Yeah, it's fucking Chick-fil-A. Like, you go there if it's a last resort, and if it's not Sunday.
Yeah.
You're really going to get upset about this kooky old place that used to only exist in mall food courts? Just find a different place to eat, or eat healthier. Don't eat shit that's deep fried in peanut oil.
Yeah, the only time I've ever eaten Chick-fil-A was because it was in the cafeteria at Wright State, where we went to college.
Yeah.
They had Chick-fil-A, and they had Pizza Hut and Taco Bell, and I don't really care for Pizza Hut or Taco Bell, so I had to become acutely acquainted with Chick-fil-A. And that's really the only situation in which anybody could ever eat Chick-fil-A, I would think. I mean, it's when it's the only thing you can eat in your cafeteria.
The lesser of three or four evils.
Yeah. I was ranting about this the other day, but if the guy in charge of Chipotle came out and he was like, man, I don't like gay people. I don't think that there would be as much of an uproar because it's easy to like protest Chick-fil-A because nobody fucking goes to Chick-fil-A. But if it was like Chipotle or Starbucks, I think people would like kind of stay quiet about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as much media attention when it's a quick burrito.
Yeah, not as much like people on Facebook being enraged about it and stuff. Because then, you know, if you say, oh, Chipotle is bad, and then you go to Chipotle because it's fucking delicious and tasty and awesome, then somebody might call you out about that. But it's easy to badmouth and, you know, boycott a place that you're never going to go anyway.
Yeah, but this is a state of affairs that we live in, by the way. It's where debates about, like, women's rights and safety comes from stand-up comedy. And same-sex marriage debates come from fucking chicken restaurants and puppets.
Yep.
We totally dropped the ball. Like, there's no reason why any other nation couldn't just come in and be like, hey, you all fucked up. You were supposed to be talking about serious shit, but you were focused on guys on mics and fucking Kermit the Frog. So we're taking over now. Enjoy your new flag.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. Next story in the lightning round is Toyota names car after Reconstruction era racial slur. The Toyota just unveiled two brand new small minivans, apparently due to popular demand, called the Porte and the Spade. They both have two sliding doors to allow ease of entry in narrow Japanese parking decks. First off, even though they have different names, the Porte and Spade are actually the same car. They'll be sold through different parts of Toyota's confusing Japanese dealership structure. Secondly, the names aren't the best choices. Porte is French for door, while Spade is a bit more problematic. While Toyota claims the name was derived from the words space and wide, Spade is also a racial epithet that was used against African Americans in the latter half of the 19th and early 20th century. That's a weird name for a minivan anyway. Because if you think of a spade as like the thing you would use to unplug potatoes from the ground, that why is that even the name of a vehicle? It's like when Dunkin' Donuts, I think, or whoever it was, that had the Mulatte, and it was this blended chocolate vanilla drink, but it seemed like a play off of mulatto, which is a derogatory racial slur. And seemed more apparent because it was this blending of white and black. And it's like, nice try, dude. That's really racist, though.
It's kind of cute, though.
Mulatte?
Yeah, it's like kind of a cute pun.
If the guy was more endearing, like if somebody introduced it in a more endearing fashion, I might be on board with you. But otherwise, I feel like the guy was just an asshole.
And, you know, I mean, people aren't ready for chocolate and vanilla to be combined in the same coffee. Give it another 30 or 40 years, people might come around to it.
It's very interesting that you bring that up, because, yeah, there's not yet a blended version of that. Like, if you ever go to a soft serve ice cream place, you always have a distinct difference between the vanilla and chocolate and the swirled ice cream cone that you get.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, still segregated.
It's terrible news.
This is where we get our racial discussion, by the way, from fast food, soft serve ice cream places, much like everything else in the world. Yeah, what a weird name for a vehicle. Spade? Like, Porte at least makes some sense because of door, but...
I don't know. Well, I mean, I just think they're out of names for cars. I mean, they've used all the planets. They've used all the big...
Badass animals.
Yeah, badass animals they've all used. Coastal California towns are all taken. I have to start getting pretty creative with it. You know, I don't know. I think this is kind of... I think this is a lot like the shoes with the chains on them that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where it's like, you know, if you've got like five Japanese Toyota scientists and marketing guys and executives in a room, and one of them's like, hey, why don't we call it the Spade? And they're like, all right, that seems reasonable. Then I think that none of those guys are thinking about race. But then when it gets out and, you know, somebody goes, the Spade? You know, isn't that what they call black people? Like, this is not cool. That means that person's thinking a lot about race. And I don't understand why it's a bad choice for Japanese Toyota guys in the year 2012 to be so preoccupied with a racial, derogatory racial term that was used 150 years ago, halfway across the world. Like, I think people are... I think there's maybe a statute of limitations where a racial term is okay to be transformed into a name of a car.
Yeah, I think people are giving American racism way too much credit for its viral ability to spread across oceans in a time when, like, the Japanese were mainly trying to be isolationist about stuff. And yeah, like having lived in Japan for about 6 months, the effects of racism there are way more direct and apparent. Like when there's racism going on, you know about it. And it's mostly according to anybody who's not Japanese. Not to sound racist, but I mean, that was a fact. Like you would go down to the train station and there'd be a black van sitting there broadcasting stuff out of a giant speaker on top of it. You're like, oh, what's going on there? And then like one of your Japanese friends has to tell you, like, oh, that's a isolationist van. They hate foreigners. So they're broadcasting how they hate foreigners right now.
Wow, that's very overt. See, that's how we feel about racism here, is that like if somebody calls a car something, we think like it's some sort of like subliminal kind of racist thing that they're trying to get in under the radar. But in other places, people just have vans parked. And in the South, I guess, people just have their vans parked and they'll just say it from the loudspeakers.
Yeah, this was extremely direct. Like, I don't think there'd be any misconception if the Japanese were trying to be racist. I think this was probably just them running out of English words to use. It might actually be what's described here, space and wide. That sounds really dumb, but probably wholly accurate.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it's not, I mean, when somebody says spade, I think of cards. Like, I mean, is that... And it's even got on this logo for the car, it's got the little card spade logo thing. If spade, like, if the only time it was ever used in the history of the world was as, a racial slang term, then maybe they would have a point. But I mean, there's a lot of uses for this word. Two other uses for this word is a lot.
Yeah.
But who were the Japanese racist towards?
Any foreigners.
Any foreigners?
Yeah, dude, that could be people from... It didn't matter your skin color if you were not Japanese. Even more specifically, if you weren't from, like, the main islands. Like, Okinawa is its own thing. It's kind of like the Hawaii of Japan, as it's most commonly referred to. But to these radical isolationists, it was... Yeah, even anybody who was not from the main islands.
Man, that's pretty rough.
Yeah, man. And if you were gone for, like, 5 years or so... Like, if you left the country for an extended amount of time, then you were no longer Japanese. So, like, Yoko Ono, the entire culture is not so isolationist. Like, the black van thing, that's a radical sect mm-hmm. that most Japanese are kind of like, just ignore that. We're not about that.
So what do we have for the verdict on this car? Is it racist or is it not racist, Mr. Frisbee?
I don't think it's racist. I think it's a charming misstep. I just think it's like a complete misstep. Like, oh, whatever. We ran out of English words. When in fact, they really didn't. Like, there's still more awesome words there.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly more exciting things you could call your car.
Maybe instead of people naming their kids after cars, we could start naming cars after people's kids.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, instead of naming a car Mercedes, we can name like Luann or something.
Coming this fall, the Toyota Jimny.
Last up on the lightning round, geek rap star kicks fan out of concert over tweet. Sometimes talking smack on an opening act will get you in trouble, even if you do it on a Twitter. Sometimes they'll even get you kicked out of the show. This is what happened last Tuesday to Mike Taylor, who writes for the gaming site Gameboat.com. Taylor was attending a show by nerdcore rapper Christopher MC Chris Ward in Philadelphia that night, when a tweet critical of the opening act got him ejected from the show. And since that night, MC Chris has uploaded a apology video. But Mike Taylor's original tweet was, "Dear nerd rapper opening for Power Glove / MC Chris, you're not good enough to pander to me. Better luck next time." And during MC Chris's performance, he asked who Mike Taylor was, when Mike Taylor begrudgingly admitted that it was him. MC Chris mocked him for the tweet and had him thrown out of the show.
Yeah, this is bogus. Everything, like, I mostly like MC Chris. Like, I like his first couple albums, and every time he puts out a new one, there's like one or two good songs and a lot of crap. And, but everything I hear about him is that he's a huge dickhead. Like, we have a friend that I guess I'll leave nameless in case MC Chris listens to this or something. But we had a friend who went to see, or went, you know, in a big group, not so much with MC Chris, but in a group that consisted of MC Chris to see Snakes on a Plane. And in like the first 5 minutes, they were cracking wise. And MC Chris was like, hey, we're not going to be cracking wise during this whole goddamn movie, are we? And it's like, motherfucker, you're seeing Snakes on a Plane. Like, why else would you see Snakes on a Plane? So I hear a lot of stuff about like that from MC Chris, and he seems like a fucking bag of dicks. And so this is a real dick move. I mean, it's cool that he apologized and stuff, you know, which, you know, should go without saying because this is a real dick move. But yeah, I don't know. I think MC Chris, and I mentioned this on Facebook, I think guys like MC Chris and Chris Hardwick, anybody named Chris who is a nerd. And
well, aside from our own guest, Chris Arneson.
Aside from Chris Arneson, of course. And anybody else named Chris who's been on this show. You know, like if you're a nerd and you sort of get a little successful, then you use that success to kind of get back at people because you got picked on or whatever in high school. And so now you're in charge. You've got the power. And so you pick on people. And I think this is MC Chris doing that. You know, it's the same thing like when we talked about this forever ago, like when Chris Hardwick does that stupid fucking Talking Dead show after The Walking Dead and somebody calls in and they have, you know, an opinion that Chris Hardwick doesn't like. He just berates them and hangs up on them. And so I think a lot of stuff like this, especially now that, you know, it's very fashionable to be geeky. Like, I think a lot of people like this are, they use it to kind of turn the tables, you know, and you see it a lot in comic book stores. I used to hang out in comic book stores a lot, and there's a lot of, oh, if you don't know what happened in Green Arrow number 572, then get the fuck out of here. You're a dork, blah, blah, blah. You're not as good as us. And there's a lot of bullying in the nerd crowd, it seems. And I think this is that.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think there's enough attention brought to the fact that nerds are often bullies themselves. Again, it is very fashionable to be nerdy. There's a lot of nerd love that was going around. That was all very charming. There's a reason that nerds are kind of outcasts. Because they're complete dickheads sometimes.
It's very true.
I mean, I've given hours of my life to play a tabletop role-playing game with friends who were really nerdy. That was a mistake in some cases because those friends were terrible dickheads when it came to playing these games.
What do you mean you don't know what a beholder is, you son of a bitch? Out!
You don't know how to cast a magic missile? GTFO. There's a, like, I know I'm fairly nerdy, but there's definite degrees of nerdiness. And you can be so nerdy that you're intolerable. Like, I think it's the only sect that I need to actually tolerate. It's like when you go to a comic book store, and it's not even just knowledge, it's well-being too. Like, there's a lot of nerds who don't bathe. There's nothing sexy or charming about that. Like, you're putting up with a lot to be around these types of people. And sometimes it's smell. So it's like, just get over yourself. You're not that interesting with pop culture news. Just be glad when you meet somebody else who's willing to meet you halfway on this stuff that you care about. Like, that's how I am. I mean, Breaking Bad or Spider-Man. Like, I'm excited to talk this stuff with anybody who's willing to listen and talk back about it. But I'm not going to be a dickhead about it.
You know, just grab up people and be like, what do you mean you haven't seen Spider-Man? What do you mean?
Get out of this room. Get out of this room. I saw your tweet about how you didn't like the Spider-Mans. You're done here. Get out. Yeah, MC Chris in this light kind of sucks. He had a great Twin Peaks song recently, but that was the only thing that I've actually paid attention about him. And I was in Philadelphia around the time of this show. My brother was suggesting this show while we were all there for this family vacation thing. And I considered it before going. I was like, well, that sounds interesting, but I haven't been to an MC Chris show in like 10 years almost. I think the last one I went to was with you and previous guest of the show, Jono.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it seemed so far off. Like, honestly, that Twin Peaks track was the only thing I was really interested in. I couldn't imagine going to one of those shows now. In fact, that was a pretty funny Onion AV Club article they had about this. One of the commenters was like, the only thing sadder than MC Chris kicking this fan out of the show is that this guy actually went to an MC Chris show. And it's like, yeah, what, can you see yourself going to an MC Chris show now?
You know, I don't. Well, if I thought that he was still good, I could. But, I mean, it, you know, if I went now, it, I'd just be suffering through. Like, MC Chris, I know I've been ragging on this for the past few weeks, but MC Chris's new stuff sounds a lot like The Wiggles. Like, he's got this song about how he puts his hoodie on and he's a hoodie ninja and all this. And he's got songs about fucking candy and...
The dude's like in his 40s, right?
Yeah, he's pretty old and...
He's rapping about candy? Yeah. Like the MCP pants thing was from 10 years ago.
Well, he's got... Well, yeah, he's got new songs about candy. Still singing about candy.
That's still a thing, right?
But yeah, and I mean, also like this fellow says that he didn't like this opening guy. Because, you know, he felt that they were, like, pandering to nerd culture and stuff. And I think that that's what MC Chris does a lot now. It's like every fucking song I hear is about Star Wars or it's about The Legend of Zelda. And it's like, who gives a shit? Like, I like the MC Chris songs where he's doing normal rap stuff, like talking about how awesome he is at rapping and, you know, stuff like that. And which is, you know, a lot of the early stuff. I mean, you know, he also had Fetz Vet and a lot of Star Wars bullshit. But there was some, like... real life stuff he was rapping about, and now it seems every time I listen to MC Chris and you know, and anybody in this genre. I mean, the other band or group that was playing at this event was called Power Glove. I mean, come the fuck on, like, stop it. Like, there's got to be other stuff out in the world than just this fucking the Nintendo games. Like, rap about something. Like, I mean, it's fine if you want to be nerdcore and you want to use fucking video game samples for your beats and stuff, but I mean, does it have to be every fucking thing you do? It has to be about fucking video games and Spider-Man. I mean, come on.
By the way, I didn't know this guy actually wrote for a gaming blog site. I'm sure if it was anybody else who posted that he got kicked out, and this apparently this isn't a new thing, like he's done this multiple times, this MC Chris guy getting like kicking people out of his shows. Like, if it was anybody else who posted about it, it wouldn't make a difference. But because this guy has some pool as a video game reporter, he'd probably be able to broadcast, hey, anybody who's listening to MC Chris, don't listen to him anymore. That's the only reason this apology video came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, what's really super telling and dickheadish about this that I just noticed is that, you know, they got, like, a screenshot of the tweet that this kid made. And he doesn't... at MC Chris or Power Glove or anybody. So when MC Chris found this backstage when he was searching Twitter, he must have been searching Twitter for his name.
Or just Googling himself.
Yeah. So that's pretty fucking weird.
Yeah, he seems like a creep show. For a guy who got to start an Adult Swim, I don't know if I should expect anything more. I was going to say that sucks, but...
And now we're going to do the newest segment on this show called Judge Frisbee's Hypocrisy Court. This is something we did 2 weeks ago that, you know, it's where I give Mr. Frisbee a situation that I encountered in my real life or maybe just a hypothetical. And Mr. Frisbee tells me if the person that I'm prosecuting here is being a hypocrite and how much time they're going to have to serve in hypocrite jail, if so. So Mr. Frisbee, let me recount to you the crimes that I'm trying to charge this man with. Russell Simmons. You're aware of Russell Simmons?
Yes.
After the Batman shooting the other day, he took to Twitter and he said that the NRA is a pimp and the government is the hose. Meaning, of course, that the NRA is... you know, pushing around the government, making it so that guns can still be legal and stuff. And in light of this tragedy, suggesting, maybe implying, maybe I'm reading into this, but maybe implying that the NRA, if they didn't exist, then maybe this crime wouldn't have happened. This tragedy wouldn't have happened. But Russell Simmons, of course, is, you know, he co-founded Def Jam Records. And a couple of the artists who have been on Def Jam are guys like Uncle Murda and The Murderers. Two totally separate groups there. And the CEO of Def Jam was once Jay-Z, who has a song where the whole entire chorus is, "I got myself a gun," over and over and over. So at the risk of sounding old, I could say that perhaps more so than the NRA, maybe Def Jam, they do a lot of glorifying guns themselves. So would you say, Mr. Frisbee, Mr. Judge Frisbee, that Russell Simmons was being a bit of a hypocrite in this situation?
No, this week I actually rule in favor of Russell Simmons. It is very telling that he's adding this stuff about his views on the NRA and the government, and having bands on his label, artists on his label like The Murderers and Uncle Murder. It comes very, very close. I think it's a distinction between a group such as the NRA that's pushing for legal change, whereas he's just trying to make money off of artists. I've yet to see anybody with a bumper sticker that says, "You can pull my murderer's CD from my cold, dead hands." I think that Russell Simmons is purely out for that bottom dollar, whereas the NRA is just more out for an avid change in gun laws.
Or an avid stay the same in gun laws, rather.
I don't know, man. I would assume that they want to regress and at least like have more open gun laws, but whatevs.
Can things get more open?
I guess. I mean, in our lifetime, we've seen the 7-day waiting period, which hasn't really changed anything, but...
Hello, my name is Jesse P.S., and I'm the host of the Pod Awful Podcast. What is Pod Awful? Well, it's one of the funniest comedy talk shows online. Every Monday, my comedian friends and I talk live on air about anything we want. We get way too personal, and we fuck up everyone's feelings. Things have happened on this show, such as calling an actual 10-year-old girl to tell her that there's no such thing as Santa or God. Real friendships have ended on my show. My ex-girlfriend called into the show live to break up with me on air. I have given out personal information on friends, family members, strangers, by accident, sometimes on purpose, sometimes it's well deserved. We one time convinced a kid that 9/11 never happened, and everyone in New York City knows about it and is in on the lie. That's what you can expect from Pod Awful. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. But hey, haters gonna hate, and I don't give a shit. You can watch every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live at podawful.com/TV. Watch the video, chat in the Chaz room, hang out, call into the show. We are at podawful.com. We are part of the Red Band Network, and until you check us out, have an awful day.
So that's the end of the show. You know, I'm glad to be back. You know, I'm glad to, you know, the whole time I was in Las Vegas, like I was telling Mr. Frisbee earlier, I was going up to the blackjack dealers and I was like, hey, what music does Kevin Moss listen to? Hey, tell me, quick! And, you know, going up to the go-go dancers and, you know, doing the lightning round with them. I just took my newspaper right up to the go-go dancers and just asked them how they felt about certain things in the news. It was, that's mostly what my vacation was that, and then going up also to like the valet people and asking them what their thoughts are on Return of the Killer Tomatoes and stuff. It was rough living without podcasts for a week. But anyway, go to poolpartyradio.com. Find all our old episodes there. You can get episode 10 there, which was the first Saved by the Bell episode. I don't think it's on iTunes anymore, but it's still on the website. And you can listen to that, because next week we're doing another Saved by the Bell episode. We're going to be running down, watching, and then running down each and every episode from season 2, all 13 episodes, and discussing them with our friend Mary, who is very into Saved by the Bell, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I really like these Saved by the Bell episodes we do. So it's going to be a different one. No lightning round, no Judge Frisbee, anything like that. Just Saved by the Bell, 100%. You can also go to our iTunes page by either searching it or finding it from the website. And you can leave us some 5-star reviews and comments, which would be tremendously helpful. You can't stress that enough, that it's helpful. You can also subscribe That way you don't have to like click with your finger, you know, to download each week. You can just get it automatically, which would be cool. If you don't like iTunes, you can find us on Stitcher. I guess. I don't use Stitcher. I mean, no, I use Stitcher all the time. It's great. Find us there. Also, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. We're there. We want to be your friend. Oh, this past weekend, I was a part of the Awful Flicks show featuring Jesse P.S. from the show Pod Awful, which is another show you should listen to. And, you know, I think we played a promo for it on last week's pool party and everything, but we watched Mac and Me live and did an audio commentary for it live on that show. And it was a lot of fun. And I think the podcast for that will be up soon. We're trying to figure out when and where that'll happen. But, if you didn't get to listen to it live, you'll be able to download the MP3 and watch the movie and check it out that way. And I think we might do those monthly or something, maybe. We are trying to figure that out too. But, it was super fun. And check out Jesse's other show, Pod Awful. Yeah, so that's everything. Also, follow Jason Frisbee at Jason Frisbee on Twitter. Don't follow me, just follow him. So next week is the Saved by the Bell episode. The week after that, I think Jesse P.S. from Pod Awful will be here. The week after that, I'm not sure yet. I think Mike from Kissing Contest will be on at some point in the next couple of weeks, where we will be distributing chuckle points again. And then that will be great. So until then, this is Parker for Babeson Razor Babes Frizz Babe saying fuck you Chelios.
Yeah, put your lighters up.
This song is dedicated to anybody who's ever been to that dark place, can't find no way out.
You're sitting in your room, you're crying like a little bitch. One more day you gotta face the world and all its shit.
Yeah,
look at yourself, you's a fucking mess. Bald head man, breast dressed to the press.
Yeah.
No talent, bank account, low balance. You're stupid and your breath smell like egg salad. You used to dream of being famous. Now every night you gotta stick rectal suppositories up into your anus. Plus you got a bus pass, swagger on a minimum. Wife been cheating on you since the turn of the millennium. People think you're mildly autistic, simplistic. Always leaving home without your wallet, you's a dipshit. Hardly Mr. Fix-It, more like Mr. Useless. Only got one option left and I suggest you choose it. I suggest you buy a gun, I suggest you use it. And kill yourself to this buckwheat music.
It's okay to take yourself out the game. You're the only person to blame, pussy, your life sucks. Your wife fucks, she fucks other guys. Your whole life is a mistake in your mother's eyes. It's okay to take yourself out the game. Put that burner up to your brain and pull the trigger, player.
And kill yourself. Just kill yourself.
Just kill yourself. Just kill yourself.
It's okay to take yourself out the game. You're the only person to blame, pussy, your life sucks. Your wife fucks, she fucks other guys. Your whole life is a mistake in your mother's eyes. It's okay to take yourself out the game. Put that burner up to your brain and pull the trigger, player.
And kill yourself. Just kill yourself.
And kill yourself.
Kill yourself. I hate to break it to you, homie, but your life's the worst. You drive a Hyundai, you should probably upgrade to a hearse. Yeah. It's not your fault, dog, you did the best that you could do. God must have spent a little less time on you. With your stomach troubles, always got the bubble guts. Stinking up the Starbucks bathroom, taking public dumps. Mouth breathing, knuckle dragging, mumbler. Your son called you gay on his Tumblr. Damn. But this your chance to make a positive difference. The world is positively better off without you in it. Your dad can finally say that you're a man, and that's real. Eat a bag of Jack Link's jerky for your last meal. People do it all the time, you could go the same route. Another flame of flaming out, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow your brains out. This life is a game, your game is rained out.
It's okay to take yourself out the game. You're the only person to blame, pussy, your life sucks.
Your wife fucks, she fucks other guys. Your whole life is a mistake in your mother's eyes. It's okay to take yourself out the game. Put that burner up to your brain
and pull the trigger, player. Kill yourself.
Just kill yourself.
Just kill yourself.
Just kill yourself.
Okay. Mr.
baby. 2011. You know, this world ain't meant for everybody, you know what I'm saying? Survival's a fittest, only the strong make it. But sometimes, natural selection just needs a little push. It's up to you to make that happen.
They say it's a cold world out there, but don't worry, you gon' be nice and toasty where you